Be part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are powered by SID Media. It is, of course, the 4th of December, 2024. It is a Wednesday, so we talk to entrepreneurs across the African continent on Wednesday, which is a feature that I'm really, really loving. And the growth of this feature is one that I think is phenomenal. And thanks to you and all the entrepreneurs that come to the show to tell us a little bit about what they do, their business and their products and services that they offer. It is really amazing. Today is no different at all. And we are talking to Tamara Kambwa about her business. And she'll be telling us a little bit about that and some of the lessons that she's learned along the entrepreneurial journey. As I mentioned and always hear from some entrepreneurs, it is a lonely journey, can be a very tough one, can test you, but hey, our entrepreneurs come through and they let us in on these as well. So today is no different at all, and she's joining us this evening to tell us a little bit about her business. Good evening, ma'am, and welcome to the show.
Good evening, and good evening to all our viewers that are listening in.
Ah, fantastic. How are you today?
I am well. I hope you're having a blessed Wednesday.
Ah, I am okay. I think I've just got a little bit of NDF fatigue. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, I need to go and rest. I don't know if entrepreneurs feel the same as well.
Everyone feels that way. Feels at one point they want to have like a 30-hour nap.
I think we need like an entire week nap. No waking up, no waking up to do dishes or whatever. No one should just wake anyone up for an entire week. I think that's all we deserve, eh? And how has the year been for you as we come to the end of it? We are almost right at the beginning of the tail end of it.
This year has been a very interesting one for me. Okay. It has... Yes, it has been a year that I can safely say has had ups and downs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ah, ups and downs, eh?
Yeah.
Ah, fantastic, fantastic. But thank you so much for joining us this evening. We really appreciate it. And we hope that the remaining few weeks, they become good for you, and hope 2025 becomes better as well. Before we even get into that and about your business as well, can you tell us just for our listeners as well, a little bit about yourself and who you are, where you come from?
Okay, so my names are, I have quite a lot of names. Yes, so I will tell you all my names, but you can choose which one to call me.
Okay.
Yes, so my names are Tamara, Judith, Kasi, Nkandawire, Kwambwa.
Oh, wait, that's three names.
No, that's actually three first names.
three first names, yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. So I have Tamara and Nkandawire, the third one.
So the first name is actually Tamara. The second one is Judith.
Okay.
The third one is Cassie.
Cassie.
And yes, Cassie.
Okay.
My modern last name is Kandawir.
Ah.
And then as a marriage, I also adopted my husband's last name, which is Kwambwa.
Kwambwa, right? Okay, fantastic. Yes. Before you even continue, sorry to interject and come in there, but before you even continue, why there's so the many names? What was happening?
So the short story behind it is that because I'm the last born, both parents wanted to give me names, but they couldn't decide. So they just said, okay, let's pick three.
Yes.
So two are from my mother. We share the same name.
Okay.
And then the third one is from my dad.
That's beautiful. Yes. Okay, okay. And you're still telling us a little bit then about yourself. Where are you coming from?
So I am Zambian. Yeah. I'm born and raised in Zambia.
Yeah.
I currently live in Lusaka province.
Yeah.
Yes. Like I said, I am married.
Yeah.
Not children yet, but praying to God that maybe next year we'll have some.
Okay. And how is Lusaka for people who may not know Lusaka? I've been to Lusaka, but that was like 2008, if I remember.
Whoa, that's a long time.
That's a long time ago, right? Yeah.
Well, Lusaka is great. Yeah. It keeps on improving. The landscape keeps on improving day by day. Mm. Yeah. And we keep on having more and more fun places to go to. So I can definitely say Lusaka is great. And from the clip that I've been watching online from people from South Africa visiting Zambia, I can say our economy is quite cheap. That's what they are describing it as, quite cheap. Yes.
Okay. But I'm sure that's good for job creation.
I would invite everyone to come to Zambia.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. I was saying that I'm sure that's really good for job creation as well, particularly the tourism sector in Zambia.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, the tourism sector in Zambia has been improving to the point of we've had people like Steve Harvey coming all the way to Zambia just to see what the fuss is all about.
I think you also share the Victoria Falls, so please correct me, with Zimbabwe, right?
Yes, we do share the Victoria Falls with Zimbabwe. And unlike Zimbabweans, I would simply say visit both sides, because both sides are unique.
They offer different beauty.
I have visited both sides, so I can say visit both sides.
Fantastic. Okay. Tell us about Zuri Studio. What does the company do?
Okay. So Zuri Studio is a beauty studio.
Okay.
We basically deal with hair.
Okay.
Nails and ensuring that by the time you're leaving the salon, you look beautiful and feel beautiful. So our aim is to make sure that our clients feel beautiful by the time they are leaving our studio by ensuring that their hair health comes first. So I have this baby of mine came about because of most of my negative experiences that I have experienced going to saloons, because, you know, a woman's hair is her pride. So I've visited quite a number of saloons, and because of my hair type, I also have a lot of difficulties, because it's either they pull your hair too much, or in your presence, they start complaining to say, no, this person has got too much hair, they need to pay more, and all those things. So I thought I would like to have a place where people come and feel beautiful about their hair type, regardless of what hair type they have.
Oh, that's amazing. You mentioned something that's really interesting there, and there's two things that I really want to look at. You said the hair health is what you actually look into, and then you just mentioned that the types of hairs. Please educate us on those two. When you talk about the health of the hair, what are we talking about here? And Tanti, there's so many different types of hair.
Yes. So every person has got their own unique type of hair. So I'll start with that type of hair. From my experience and my research, I discovered that most of the times you go to, especially in these natural hair saloons, you go to a natural hair saloon and they'll tell you to say you have 4C. So with African hair, you can either fall into 4A, 4B, 4C type of hair, depending on the curl pattern.
Okay.
But with my research, I discovered that most people have actually two types of hair in one head.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So you find that they are recommending products based on the majority of the hair, neglecting the other parts of your hair. So talking from myself, I have 4B type of hair in front. And then I have 4C type of hair behind. So I always have to balance my products so that I can accommodate both, and both types of hair grow healthy. And then when it comes to hair health, you see, most of the times we buy products based on a recommendation from a friend.
Yes.
Even when we don't share the same type of hair.
Yes, yes. So
there's what they call hair porosity, which will tell you whether your hair absorbs products very quickly or it takes a lot of time for it to absorb products.
Yeah.
So I try to educate each and every person that comes to our salon on their hair porosity so that they don't end up spending a lot of money on products that are not good for their hair. Yeah. So the, most of our tests that we do to identify their hair porosity are actually tests that one can do at home. Mainly it's just to wash your hair and observe how quickly does it dry.
Yeah.
And how quickly does it absorb water?
Yeah.
So without putting any products to your hair, just pour water in it and see how quickly it will absorb water and how quickly it will dry. And that will tell you whether you have low porosity, medium porosity, or high porosity. And from then, you can try to see products that will accommodate that and will help you grow your hair healthy and beautiful and long.
Now, you mentioned a few things there. I mean, big words there. Porosity, for example. These are things that we didn't know. 4A, 4B, 4C, and all these are things that we... It's just hair for some of us. It's really just hair. So I understand that you had bad experiences with your hair, and that led you to then starting this business. Did you always have a fascination about hair?
Yes. Actually, my fascination with hair stems from my mother.
Yeah.
Who had like a huge fascination with hair that I wasn't allowed growing up to cut my hair because I've always had very long hair.
Yeah.
So my mother would always tell me to say, your hair is very important.
Sure.
So don't cut it unless it's necessary.
Yes.
So I had to learn, and especially that I have the majority of my hair type is 4C, which sometimes can be hard to comb.
Yeah.
So I had to learn how to manage my hair so that as I'm going to school, it's still neat and I'm not punished for having scrappy hair. So my fascination with hair was brought up by my mom, but it has it's something that has been with me for the longest period. So I'm actually happy that now I get to teach other people how to manage their hair instead of them using weaves all the time.
You've just actually schooled me. I must just go and learn now and look at my own hair. So I'm just going to pour water and look at its porosity.
Yeah.
Now I've learned even a new word here, porosity and all those sort of stuff. So you're really doing a good job at educating us. Now, with regards to nails now, do you have like a clientele of men and women? And I'm asking because I think the world, at least what we are finding now, is that men are also doing their nails and taking care of themselves and their hygiene and all those sort of stuff, including their hair, which I think they've always, you know, kind of looked after. But do men also suffer from, or not really suffer, but do men also look at their hair porosity as well as their nails as well?
When it comes to checking their hair health, I feel like men have an advantage over us, so they don't really consider it as important, because what I've discovered is that for a man, the same way they wash their body is the same way they wash their hair.
That's true.
So they have actually a very huge advantage over us, that it's very easy for them to grow their hair healthy rather than for women. Because they wash their hair on a regular basis, so products don't build up.
Yeah.
Heat damage is quickly resolved. So I feel like men have a high advantage over us when it comes to hair.
Yeah.
But when it comes to nails, I think luckily for us, men are still nervous on that part.
Okay.
But we do have clients that will come and say, I want a mani and pedi.
Yeah.
And a man.
Yeah.
It's actually very encouraging for me to see that, because they also touch different things. So they need to clean their nails.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. And I'm asking because I do my nails, right? And I know that it had been very taboo for most of my friends for quite some time when I started doing that. And I saw it as a learning or teaching example, for example, because I also was very traditional in the sense that what kind of a man does his nails? It just picks wrong things. But when I looked at my nails every now and then, I mean, I use my hands as often as possible, right? And I touch different things throughout the day. Although I try and wash them here and there, and get an opportunity to wash them, but they still gather dust, they still gather dirt and all that. So why not treat your nails from that end, from a hygienic point? It doesn't mean that I'm not going to mention on radio, but what I'm just saying is that there is a business case for us as gents doing our nails as well for hygienic purposes.
Yeah, and I'm glad you've brought that up because most men think if you do your nails or if you go to a saloon to do your nails, then you are becoming more feminine. But that's not the case because just as much as women touch a lot of things and there's usually like plaque that builds up in your nails, all those things, same as men. And I think to an extent, even worse because women spend most of the time in the kitchen. So we get to work on hands when they're handling food. But sometimes men would like don't really tend to look at their nail health and their hygiene that much. So it is actually a good practice to go to a nail saloon to have your mani-pedi because the first thing that they do is clean your hands with alcohol so that there's that disinfection. And then they clean your nails. And that process helps you have not just hygiene, but also make sure that your health is at the utmost. So
definitely.
It's actually a good practice and it's not being feminine at all. It's just taking care of yourself.
I'm just going to put it out there. Men, please go to Zuri Studios, please, and get your nails and your hair and check your hair, which 4B or 4C it is. And just make sure that you take care of yourself. It doesn't mean that you're feminine. You're still a man, but you must be clean. And
actually, for men, we have a complimentary service that we offer them if they come to do their mani-pedi, which is that we do a scalp cleaning. So we remove your dandruff for you for free.
Look at that. And men have a lot of dandruff, I can tell you that much, because we don't take care of our hair, and we should. We need to be on a campaign. I can be your ambassador. And let's get this message across to all men.
let's
exactly do that, right? So let's talk about then when you started the business. When did the business start?
So I started this business in August, actually, like officially opening the saloon. But before then, I would offer like private lessons to people that would always ask me. Because in all the places that I would go, the first question that I would be asked is that your real hair? So I used to take that as a teaching platform whenever I am asked if that's my real hair. And so I started like teaching and being paid to teach last year. Mid of last year, that was somewhere in June when I started doing that. Because of that, I thought, let me open a saloon where people can actually come, and if they want to learn how about hair health and how to maintain their hair, regardless of whether it is in its natural state or it's permed. So I opened my saloon in August.
Fantastic. And did you have to raise funding? And if so, how did you go about raising funding? Because that's always a big, big problem for anyone who wants to start a business.
Actually, I did have to raise funding because when you come to a saloon, you have renters that you need to pay. You have employees that you need to hire and buying products and all these things. So I started raising my funding because I had a certain amount that I wanted to raise. So I started that beginning of the year. So on a monthly basis, I would spare something and put in my savings account so that by the time I reach my goal, I don't have like that temptation to spend because there are certain savings accounts that won't allow you to withdraw until you reach your goal.
Yeah, yeah.
I found very useful. So I had a specific amount that I needed to raise. So I opened a savings account that is called a goals account.
Mm.
So I wasn't allowed to withdraw anything until I reached my goal.
Fantastic. That's too much discipline there. So you're self-funded, but you needed to be very disciplined about how you then raise the money to do that. On the discipline on raising money, entrepreneurs out there, what would be your message? So how did you stay determined and disciplined to not even touch that money?
The first thing that I would advise anyone that is trying to raise funds is if something comes up that needs money, always ask yourself, is this a need? Because if it is a need, then yes, you can go ahead and try to find a way to use the money and replace it.
Yes.
But if it is a want, it's something that is not going to help you in the long run.
Yes.
Because there are certain things that will come up.
Yeah.
People will get sick and they will require your attention to go and visit them.
Yeah.
You will see this shop is offering 50% discounts on all these things. These are things that can wait. They are not things that are need. But if your house burns down, then you would need to spend some money to fix, to buy some of the things that you need.
Yeah.
So always ask yourself, is this a need or is this not?
Yeah,
and
fantastic.
The second question that you should ask yourself is, if I spend this money now, how long would it take me to raise it back?
Hey, and that's always the difficult part, eh?
So when you have a goal to say, okay, I need to start this business, I need to start it at this particular time, and you're raising money towards that. When these challenges come in that you will require some of the funds to be diverted towards that.
Yeah.
You need to ask yourself to say, okay, how long would it take me to raise back the money so that my goal is not deterred?
Yeah, it's not deterred.
It's going to take you longer than you actualizing your goal and getting a profit out of that. Then I would advise you hold off to spending money.
Hold off from spending money. Okay. And then do you remember your first client when you opened in August? Because I think that's always the most important indicator of whether you are doing the right thing or not, because if there's someone willing to pay for your service, it means you are in business. So do you remember them? Not necessarily their name, but what was that experience like? I'm sure it was the most joyful time.
Actually, I remember them, their name, and what hair type.
Look at that. Okay.
I was so excited, and my goal going into the consultation was, she needs to be a return client.
Yes.
And I'm happy that she is a return client because she's come for more than just what initially, because when we opened, actually, for us, she had also moved into the area.
Yes.
So she was just taking a walk to see what what the salon is all about what services we offer.
Yeah.
So we sit down, a consultation.
Yeah.
Checked her hair. To evaluate what products would use or what goal would have to achieve, because after the consultation we discovered that her hair needs a little bit of improvement.
Okay.
The edges were damaged.
Yeah.
So we talked about what treatment we were going to put in place so that we can restore the edges. But before we could start that, she said, okay, I need to plait my hair because I work.
Yeah.
So she made an appointment for the following day. She came and did her Spanish curls, which is a type of hairstyle that is very popular now. So we did that. But even with that, we said, okay, every 2 weeks come through and let's wash your hair. Let's take care of your hair so that by the time you're removing this wig, your hair is not damaged further, but it is improving in terms of health. From August, she has been coming to our salon every 2 weeks.
Yeah, Yeah, a return client because of that consultation. And mm-hmm. I suppose that that really showed her that she really needs to take care of her hair in this way and that way. And of course, only your salon can be able to offer that to her as well. And how have you grown your customers from there? Do you have like social media, word of mouth? How have things been turning and unfolding for you?
So we have a social media platform where we, on a regular basis, we post things. But I think the biggest thing that has helped us grow our social media platform even more is the fact that every client that comes to us, once we are done with their services, we ask them if they're okay with taking pictures, and then we post them on our social media platform. We've discovered that people want to see themselves more. Other people. So because of that, because we post them on social media, they will tell their friends to say, oh, I was posted on this platform, so you can check it out and all those things. So we've actually increased because of that strategy and word of mouth.
Okay, word of mouth has been a really great one. I don't know, you'll correct me, but I think the kind of work and business you're in needs you to be a little bit more creative with coming up with new styles, what's trending on the markets out there, what are people looking for, and all that. Is that what happens?
Yes. So on a regular basis, you need to check what other countries are doing in terms of hairstyles. And I tend to watch a lot of YouTube videos so I can learn different styles and how to accomplish them or on different people. Like what is trending at the moment is something that they call a versatile sew-in.
Okay.
Meaning you can part your hair from different types and it looks like it's naturally growing out of your head. Yes. So with that, it calls for watching and a lot of practice because we have different hair types and different heads. So you always have to make sure that you tweak it according to your client.
According to what the client wants, right? And so far, what would you say has been the greatest moment in running this business?
For me, the greatest moment was when I had a client that came in. We did her hair. She came for about 2 treatments and then disappeared.
Okay.
For like a month or two.
Okay.
And then she came back. And her coming back was to tell me to say she went to another salon and the treatment was not as good as
I'm sure.
our services.
Yeah.
So she came back. I think for me, that was like my proudest moment to have someone who told you to say, okay, I went to other people. They were cheaper than you, but they were not as accommodative as you are. And they didn't know about hair as much as you. So I had to come back.
So would you say your ability to take people through the entire process of understanding their hair type and what sort of treatment would actually work is what sets you apart from other businesses in the same industry?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the ability to be open to learning.
Yeah.
Because for most hairstylists, because they've been doing it for a long time, they tend to stop wanting to advance even more because for them, they know what they're doing. But there's always a platform for you to learn more about different things.
Okay. All right. Now, we ran out of time, but I want to switch now back to you as an entrepreneur. What do you think is the driving force behind this, you being an entrepreneur, and what makes you keep on going?
For me, the biggest driving force is ensuring that I help out someone else.
Yes.
Because of, like I mentioned in the beginning, because of my experience, and if I can help it, I don't want anyone else to go through that. The agony of going to a salon to do your hair because you have to be at work on Monday. And having people complain in your ears because of your hair, or being asked to pay more than the amount that was initially agreed upon. So if I can help someone have a nice experience as they come to a saloon and live happy.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's really amazing. So it's about an experience. It's more than just about the hair, but an entire experience of getting into Zuri and walking out happier.
Yes. Look, like we say at Zuri, we always ensure that you have a Zuri experience.
Ooh.
And for those who don't know, Zuri means beauty.
Look at that.
So we want you to have a beautiful experience.
A beautiful experience.
Yeah.
Ah, fantastic. Okay. So what's your day normally like? Typically when you wake up in the morning, what time do you go to work? What happens in between? Must be very hard running a business and having a family as well.
My typical day starts at 5.
Sure.
Ensuring that breakfast is made before you leave.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then so it's cleaning and making breakfast and all those things. I open the saloon at 8, so that there's a bit of a commute from where I live to where the saloon is located.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's driving towards there, 8, it's open. Sometimes, depending on whether I've had an early booking, sometimes I will open the saloon as early as 6 or 7. And we close at 9.
9 p.m.?
Yes.
Ooh, that's an entire day.
We have clients who are working during the week, so they'll say, I need to come to the saloon because I have a very important appointment in the morning, but I can't come during the day because I'm at work. So sometimes we close at 9 p.m.
And how has that affected your family then, with your family as well, leaving the business at 9 and probably getting home at like, 10 o'clock or something? So how has that affected family? Are there times when you should or can't be there, you need to attend to clients, and how are you navigating that space?
I think I am blessed because I haven't had a challenge where I am needed at the saloon, and I'm also needed at home because my husband is very understanding when it comes to that. He knows that, okay, she needs to do her thing. So at this particular time, I will give her that space.
Yes.
Especially that he's also... an entrepreneur. He owns his own architecture firms.
Yeah.
So he understands that there are times when you need to dedicate to growing your business, and there are times when you need. So for me, weekends, I dedicate especially Sabbath to my family.
Yeah.
So Sabbath, we are together from morning to evening. No work at all on Sabbath.
Not taking any bookings at all during that time.
No, absolutely not. Yeah.
That's lovely. So that's lovely.
Because of that, it has been very easy.
It's
and
been very easy.
For me, my biggest promise that I have made to my husband is give me time to grow this and train the people that are under me.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that there will be a time when the business will be able to run without me having to be there.
Constantly. Fantastic.
But that comes with dedicating time to training the people so they are as educated as you are, or even more educated than you are.
No, definitely. It will take a bit of training, but once you've set it up, it will definitely run without you even at times, and they'll be able to run things much smoother. And I suppose you can then recoup back some of that. And it also helps that you've got a partner or a husband who's also an entrepreneur, so ready to understand and assist. And I think that's really important as an entrepreneur to have a support system. If you've got a wife or a husband that supports, even friends and family maybe, that can also do the same thing. I feel like it's a really, really important thing there. Okay, now let's draw to a close. And I want to get into the question that says, if you were to go back and start again, I'm sure over the last few months you've learned one or two things. What would you do differently?
I think the biggest thing that I would do differently is to, from get-go, hire more people.
Hire more people, okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because when I was starting, I was quite scared of not having a client base.
Yes.
So I only hired about two people.
Yeah.
But I've had to take up more clients than the people that I hired because of that. So I think the first thing that I would do is not to shy away from hiring as many people as I would want.
Yeah.
So that I can actually dedicate time to training a group without the business having to suffer.
That's very true. Yeah. That's very true. And where do you see the business, say, 5 to 10 years from now? I know that as Business Sense, we'll be back again and interview you as the business grows. But where do you see the business? It's still at its infancy, but I'm sure there's greater plans.
5 to 10 years, I see myself having Zuri Studios in all the 10 provinces of Zambia.
Yes, okay.
That's my vision, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would like us to be able to take care of a lot more people than we can and ensure that everyone feels happy with their type.
Yeah.
Because from my interaction with a lot of women, there's usually a lot of hair envy. Thinking that the other person's hair is better than yours or more manageable than yours. But it all stems from not knowing how to take care of your own.
Yes, that's where it comes from.
If we can have more outlets, I'm pretty sure we'd be able to educate more people on how to manage and take care of their hair, that it is healthy, the volume that they want. Because there's also this misconception that African hair doesn't grow, which is
it's a misconception.
Like a very big lie.
Yeah.
Because it does grow. It's just we don't know how to take care of it.
Yeah.
Because we are learning from people who have a different type of hair type from us.
Yes.
So if I could teach more people to take care of their own hair based on my experiences with my own hair, then I would be very happy. So that's my goal, to have outlets in all the 10 provinces of Zambia so that we can have a beautiful Zambia.
Yeah.
Azuri
Zambia. That's beautiful. And I know that's possible and it is going to happen. And I think I've seen a little bit of, hair studios and all that, but I don't think there's one that's as unique as you, because in terms of educating people about hair, I was schooled today. I never knew that hair, for example, has different categories, and that you can have the same two types of hairs in the same head. I'm looking at my hair right now. I'm like, oh no, I think I see where the problem is now. So I haven't been schooled, and I'm sure that a lot of people who are listening and some of your clients as well get schooled as well. So which is really, really interesting. Where can people find you? Is there a number, a website, social media? Where can they find you?
Okay, so we're on Facebook and Instagram. So our Instagram page and Facebook page is Zuri Studio. Our contact numbers are +260 95 41 98 81 3.
Okay.
Yes. So with that number, you can call us, you can send us a WhatsApp, you can text us, or even beep if you don't have talk time. We'll call you back.
We'll call you back. Okay, very good. And it's Zuri Studios on social media as well.
Yes.
It is Zuri Studios on social media. Okay. One final one. There are young people, particularly black young women, who want to get into business. What would be your message to them?
My biggest message to them is to not look for a business where you will gain something, but look for a business where you can actually help out. Because when you're looking for a business, because business has a lot of challenges.
Yes.
So if you're looking for business that you will gain something, it is very easy for you to give up. But when you are help, giving a service to someone, it is very hard for you to give up, because there will be that call that will help you when you are at your downest moment.
Yes.
There will be that call that will say, thank you.
Yeah.
Because of you, I was able to achieve this.
Yes.
So look for a business where you can offer a service to someone else.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, as Christians, we are called to love one another and be of service to each other. So look for a business where you can offer a service to someone, and don't listen to people that tell you you can't do something, because there will be people that will tell you that you can't do this, but don't listen to them.
Yeah, don't listen to them at all. Don't listen to them at all.
And read the Word of God.
Very important.
A lot.
Very, very important.
It helps encourage you. It helps focus you on what you need to achieve.
Yeah.
And it helps you have a heart to offer a service.
Yes, yes. Sure.
One testimony that I'll share just a bit.
Yeah.
So I am trained in journalism.
Okay.
But one of my clients came in and she said, when I met you, I thought you were trained in customer care. Because of how calmly you answer questions that might seem obvious.
Yeah.
Because she saw me having an interaction with someone else.
Yeah.
And she's also a journalist. So she was like, no, you know what? The journalism sarcasm was not there.
Yeah.
It was making a customer service. But that comes from reading the Word of God.
Yes, yes.
Because if you're not rooted in the Word of God, it'll be very easy for you to lose your temper.
Definitely.
When you encounter people that are difficult.
Definitely.
But with the Word of God, it will remind you to say people are different.
Yeah.
So take them as they are.
Yeah.
And always treat people as you would want to be treated.
You'd want to be treated. Sure. That's a mouthful there. Really appreciate it. Well, thank you so much, ma'am. We wish you nothing but the best. We'll connect with you once again in the near future.
Thank you very much. And happy Zuri Wednesday.
Ah, look at that.
All of you, take care of your beautiful hair.
Yes.
Learn your hair and take care of it.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was, of course, Tamara there talking to us this evening about Have a Zuri Hair Wednesday. Love your hair. Take care of it.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.